theo.com/in-depth.
Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Casey Coleman, the General Services Administration's Chief Information Officer. Casey, it's been a while, but thank you so much for coming back on the show.
My pleasure, Jason. Thank you.
Well, as I said, it's been almost 3 years since you were last on the show, and I find it hard to believe it's been so long, and a lot has changed, obviously. So let's start with a big question, the one that everyone wants to know about. GSA has fully moved to cloud email, and so discuss that project. How's it going? Are you 100% there? Are you 99% there? Give us an update.
We are 100% living in Google from the perspective that everyone in GSA has an active email account on the Google platform and are using it operationally for email, calendaring, contacts, and other features that are available in the platform. We still have some follow-on punch list type activities. We're still moving archive files over. We are still doing some cleanup on the applications, the Domino applications that were part of our legacy environment, and seeing where there's a need to migrate those to a new platform. However, we are operational and we are up in the new system.
And I think you guys became operational back in July or early August?
That's correct. No, July.
Okay. And that was obviously the plan all along for you guys to have this specific type of migration. What were the biggest challenges? A lot of other agencies are really starting to look at email. When I talk to CIOs on the show all the time, they say email's, you know, top priority to move to the cloud. Give me some advice for them.
A lot of our challenges were in the nature of being one of the first to make a move like this and sort of breaking new ground. We didn't find anything insurmountable, but we did find a lot of novel challenges that we worked our way through, and I think have some good lessons that perhaps can be shared more broadly. For example, one of the challenges we had was the migration of our BlackBerries. We have a real dependence on mobility and on the ability to get our information, email, and calendars and urgent notifications anytime, anywhere. And so it's very critical that we not have a long outage for the migration of those devices. And we were challenged in that the options we looked at included sweeping them all up and migrating them to the new email system ourselves, or issuing everyone a new device. But for cost and time reasons, we ended up not going with either one of those options. We ended up pursuing a path that called on the end users, the customers and employees who are GSA BlackBerry holders, to assist us in the migration by following a wizard-type process and migrating those devices to the new platform in partnership with us. So the partnership and the communication and the change management was all very much a team effort, and I'm glad to say it worked well, but it was a challenge going into it.
I think that's one thing that people forget about when they talk about cloud email. You think, oh, well, I can just go through a browser and pull it up on a browser, but you guys can't necessarily do that with BlackBerries, especially when you're talking about sensitive emails, not necessarily classified, because I know GSA doesn't always have things in the classified environment. I think most of your data is unclassified, but still could be sensitive, and you don't want to expose it to the web. So was that probably the biggest issue in terms of ways that you had to break new ground to understand, okay, this is a hiccup in the process?
You're pointing to, I think, another one of our challenges, and that was to ensure that the platform we were moving to was secure and compliant and ready, you know, mature and ready for federal usage. And we've worked with the vendor team for a long time to go through very rigorous and thorough compliance review and operational testing and monitoring and ensuring that we were moving to a secure environment and have been satisfied ourselves that that is the case. We faced another challenge in the sense that we had to be very intentional and thoughtful about what security controls GSA as the customer and the user of the system was going to retain and what controls we were going to rely on our industry partners to perform and to maintain and monitor. So, for example, one of the design choices we made was authentication. We made a decision that GSA would retain the list of authenticated users and we would do the verification that those logging into the new email system were authenticated GSA users. And so we didn't hand that over for someone else to perform. We maintained control there. We used our two-factor authentication with the GSA access card, and thereby we feel like we've got the right balance of control and authentication and validation on our end for knowing that those using our email platform are those who've been approved to do so.
This gets a little sensitive in terms of security controls, but can you give me a sense of even a percentage? Was it 50-50? Was it 70-30? Like, how much did GSA retain versus how much did the vendor are taken care of?
I would say the predominance or the majority of the security controls are with the vendor, and that's for the day-to-day operations. We maintain a very vigorous review and monitoring process, real-time, ongoing operational monitoring, so that we know. I mean, by no means have we just turned over controls. We rely upon the vendor for a lot of the actual operation of the controls, and we maintain the monitoring and the review. There are a few key ones that we have decided need to stay with GSA, including authentication, and that's probably one of the primary ones that we decided intentionally to maintain within the agency.
And I enjoyed you when you said the GSA access card. We all know that is the HSPD-12 card, right?
That is the HSPD-12 card, although that's a long term to roll off the tongue. We call it the access card. But you're right, it's our HSPD-12 PIV card.
And I think that's something that agencies are under the gun, not just GSA, but all of them, to use their HSPD-12 card or whatever they're calling it for logging on to the computer. And if you have email like you guys do, obviously that's another complexity. So it's good to hear that GSA was able to solve it and control it. Because I think when you move to the cloud, those are some of the questions that come up is, can we do it? Can we use HSPD-12? And it's not because you can't, but you don't know what you don't know.
Well, that's true. And you bring up a good point, Jason, which is that a lot of the work we've done prior to this move laid the foundation for a successful migration to a new cloud-based email system. You may recall that when Administrator Johnson came on board at GSA, she challenged us with a series of IT modernization initiatives that she wanted done in a matter of weeks as a regard to more traditional time frame of months and months to get these things done. So in the course of about 10 weeks over the course of last year, 2010, we implemented a number of infrastructure upgrades, including the move to logging into our GSA network using the access card, the HSPD-12 card, and also vastly increased our remote access capabilities and our abilities to log in from anywhere and get access to our systems. So with those improvements then in place, we had the stage set for a successful migration to a cloud-based email platform.
I know one question that has come up repeatedly that I've heard when you talk about cloud-based is the security. It's not so much the security of the system, as you said, but where's the data center located? Oh, is it FISMA compliant? And as well as who retains the data? And all of that was put into the contract as part of the SLAs. Just if you can give me a sense of those issues, how has GSA addressed those? Because I think that's a big question many CIOs have.
I think it's important to keep in mind that we are looking for the best security controls and the best security program that we can get. And that does not necessarily mean controlling it under government control, because the practice of information security is sophisticated and challenging, and we need to draw on the best minds and the best talent from industry to partner with us so that we can leverage that skill set more broadly. And so we are looking to our industry partners to assist us with this. We don't look at security as being something that only the government personnel can and should be responsible for. We ultimately are accountable. There's no question about that. But in partnership and leveraging the work of the industry partners who are ultimately delivering a service to us under our accountability.
And I think that's the key, is that you guys are still hold all the cards, if you will, when it comes to what's happening and what's not.
We do. The data is ours. The contract specifies, we own it. We retain all rights to it. There's no question but that it is, completely under GSA's province.
Very nice. Now let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can touch upon the Google email migration just a little longer, and then we'll get into some of your other priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Casey Coleman, the General Services Administration's Chief Information Officer.
Sound familiar?
Where's my data stored? Who owns it? How many duplicates exist? How much file data is unused? How are we going to pay for all of it?
Vion Corporation's Capacity Services is the answer. Your organization needs a trusted advisor with the right technical tools and the right financial expertise to solve big storage problems for good. For over 31 years, Vion Corporation and Hitachi Data Systems have been planning and preparing to solve big data problems for the government at the exabyte level. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. Whether your organization calls it cloud, utility computing, managed services, or capacity services, at the core is the rapid provisioning of information technology infrastructure. At Vion Corporation, they pioneered capacity services 10 years ago. Vion was awarded the first and currently holds the largest federal government capacity services contract. They provide government IT owners an agile financial vehicle for meeting mission-critical IT needs. Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been delivering IT solutions to the government for over 31 years. Visit Vion.com to learn more.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Casey Coleman, the General Services Administration's Chief Information Officer. All right, Casey, well, before break, we talked a lot about your migration to the Google email system. It's a big news across the government. A lot of people are interested. Let's, before we move on to the next set of topics, how many legacy email systems are we talking about? Have you shut them down? What's the timing around those?
We only had one legacy email system. Fortunately, the agency's email systems had been consolidated several years ago. And so the migration was from a legacy system to Google. And it was an in-house system that we purchased software licenses for and maintained on-premise. So our real motivation to move to the cloud was that that infrastructure that we were maintaining within the GSA network was aging and didn't provide us the resiliency and the continuity of operations capacity and the ability to have mobile access anytime, anywhere. So we had some very pressing architectural and resiliency issues that caused us to take the step. And as I said earlier, everyone in GSA is now operational on the Google platform. We are still doing some migration activities of things like email archives and a little bit of punch list type cleanup activities, but that's all sort of behind the scenes work. The bulk of the work is now completed and everyone is up and running.
But is that legacy email system close to being shut down? Have you started to shut down pieces of it?
Oh, yeah, we've begun to shut down. We've shut down the email servers. We have some storage devices that we need to shut down or repurpose once those archives have been moved over. And we have some applications that were built in the old email system that we're also moving. And as soon as those are moved in the next 9 to 12 months, we will shut down those final few servers. But we've already begun the shutdown process, and we've begun to realize some of the benefits and savings.
Because I think that's one of the biggest keys that you hear. You know, yes, you can move to whatever system, but you shut down the old one because
yeah.
So many people are on the old one. And so knowing that you've already started to pull those plugs, I think feels pretty good, I imagine.
It does. We have cut that cord. There is no ability to send or receive email from the old system, and those licenses have been decommissioned. So, again, some behind-the-scenes work taking place, but we are no longer using the old email system, and we've turned off the email servers and are decommissioning them.
All right. Sounds like you're on a path for success when it comes to the email. Let's talk about some of the other priorities you've been working on over the last year or so. Implementing voice over IP, your migration to Office 2007, network improvements. We talked a little bit about HSPD12 or the GSA Access Card implementation. Just give us a quick update. How are those going? I think a lot of those programs were, as in GSA terms, they got slammed.
They did get slammed. That's what I referred to earlier when I said that Administrator Johnson challenged us to really vastly accelerate the work to get these foundational projects in place and operational quickly. So, for example, for the network improvements, our partners in GSA's Public Building Service had to work with us on some wiring closet changes to add some power stations within some of the buildings. We needed some help with some procurement activities, and the Federal Acquisition Service agreed to help us with some contracting officer support. In some cases, we needed to accelerate some of the funding for some of these projects, and our Office of the Chief Financial Officer helped us with finding the funding. So we got all of those commitments and all of those coordination points agreed upon in that one-day slam, whereas normally it would have taken weeks, if not months, of coordination and working group meetings. And then we were positioned to go execute those projects very quickly. So from April of 2010 until July 4th of 2010 is the time frame for all of those projects. And we got them all done. We have a few remaining field offices that still require being outfitted with voice over IP phones. But the voice over IP infrastructure is up and operational, and most people within GSA are now residing on that system.
And I know that that was a big chore. I remember seeing you just soon after that July 4th, and we talked a little bit about it, and you kind of were like, yes, we got it done. Let's talk also about the Office 2007 migration. That's been a challenge. I understand that some other agencies also are going down that path, and that's harder because you do have other legacy softwares, other legacy systems that may not play nicely with the new Office software. How's that gone?
It's gone very well. And again, I would credit the SLAM process, because you're right. There were a lot of dependencies built in with legacy software applications to the old Office tool set. And so we had to get the commitment from those IT teams that they would migrate their applications to work with Office 2007. They would do the testing, and we would work with them on making sure that everything was operational, that nothing would be broken by this migration. So again, that was a big team effort, and reflects the fact that everyone had the same goal and the same time frame, the same objective, that we got it done.
Obviously, a lot of this happened over the last more than a year ago, so things obviously are moving forward. In the end, once you moved to Office 2007, over the last year, have things worked? Have you had instances where you kind of said, oh, that popped up as an issue, we didn't see it initially?
I'd say technically we had very few hiccups. I think it went very smoothly. One of the lessons we learned out of that project, which we subsequently applied to our migration to the cloud-based email solution, is really the importance of a really robust and, I would say, interesting communications and change management campaign. You need to make it relevant to people. You need to be able to capture their interest and present the changes that are coming to their way in a way that is relevant to them, in the way that integrates with the work that they're doing, so that you don't take them by surprise when changes occur. So we implemented a multi-channel communications and change management campaign. We used video, we used newsletters, we used in-person, you know, brown bag lunches and educational seminars. We used online training. Just every tool we could bring to bear, we implemented to really reach all users in a way and time and format that was meaningful to them. And we, I think, significantly improved on that when we moved to Google with the, you know, the quality and the timeliness and the ability to reach out to people about the changes for that particular project.
Let me shift over gears. Obviously, your plate's been pretty full for the last couple of years, but I'm sure you have other priorities you want to work on over the next 6 or 12 months. Give me a sense of what you want to accomplish.
We're turning our attention to the legacy portfolio of business systems within the GSA environment. You know, a lot of our efforts have been focused on infrastructure and end-user productivity tools like Office 2007 and new email and calendar and so forth. We're now looking at those legacy business systems to see where we are positioned to support new and emerging GSA requirements, and where we need to go back and modernize, transform, or potentially even shut things down. So that is fundamentally a governance question, and we are revitalizing our enterprise governance process as we are about to kick off an investment review board that will be chaired by our deputy administrator, and that is going to be a very senior-level team that we will turn to for the tough decisions about investment priorities and modernization choices based on strategy and business need.
And I know with the budget changes that are coming, that it's going to be so important. I'm hearing that time and again from other CIOs that these IRBs are so important. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, maybe we'll talk a little bit more about your priorities or some of the other things that you've been working on. You are listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Casey Coleman, the General Services Administration's Chief Information Officer.
Sound familiar?
Where's my data stored? Who owns it? How many duplicates exist? How much file data is unused? How are we going to pay for all of it?
Vion Corporation's capacity services is the answer. Your organization needs a trusted advisor with the right technical tools and the right financial expertise to solve big storage problems for good. For over 31 years, Vion Corporation and Hitachi Data Systems have been planning and preparing to solve big data problems for the government at the exabyte level. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. Whether your organization calls it cloud, utility computing, managed services, or capacity services, at the core is the rapid provisioning of information technology infrastructure. At Vion Corporation, they pioneered capacity services 10 years ago. Vion was awarded the first and currently holds the largest federal government capacity services contract. They provide government IT owners an agile financial vehicle for meeting mission-critical IT needs. Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been delivering IT solutions to the government for over 31 years. Visit Vion.com to learn more.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Casey Coleman, the General Services Administration's Chief Information Officer. Now, Casey, before break, we talked a little bit about your next set of priorities. You talked about business systems, and there's a big focus on business systems across the government. I was just talking to the Navy Chief Information Officer, and they're under pressure to cut 25% of their spending on IT through how they, you know, work with, how they address their business systems. Give me a sense of what you're looking at around the business systems. Are you looking at, you know, internal ones like HR and financial management, or are you talking more about, like, for instance, the contracting types of business systems that the Federal Acquisition Service uses?
We're really looking very broadly at business systems, not by office and not by function, but really by what strategic business capability they support. So it's really looking at linkages, value chain, kind of connectivity between systems, and how those legacy applications support our mission going forward. Like a lot of other agencies, like a lot of organizations, most of our IT spending is in these legacy business systems. So, you know, opportunities for innovation, transformation, cost savings, efficiencies, we're really going to find them there, we believe. So, for example, we've divided our strategic requirements in a set of 7 strategic business capabilities. For example, shared services, things that are cross-cutting both internally and externally, such as financial services and HR services. Another one is innovative government-wide platforms, and that pertains to some of the work that is more external, things such as the work that the Office of Citizen Services and Innovative Technologies and the Office of Government-Wide Policy do with tools such as challenge.gov and USA.gov. Others include knowledge management and the ability to make information-based decisions, one-stop acquisition services. So none of these are tied to a particular organization because we really want to make the review strategic, cross-cutting. It's not to focus in on any one office, but really to focus on GSA's mission, our emerging and future requirements and current requirements, and how those tools support them.
Well, I brought up the Navy when I asked you the question about having, they're under pressure to cut some of their IT spending. With the budget that's coming, I know nobody knows what the budget's going to look like, but we can all maybe make an assumption that it's going to be smaller, whether you're GSA, whether you're the Navy, whether you're another agency. You're starting to feel that pressure to say, okay, we got to find some savings out of our business systems because this is, as you said, where a lot of your spending occurs. So therefore, there's probably a big opportunity.
We're looking at the entire portfolio for efficiencies. For example, this is a different topic. But one of the things we're looking at is consolidating all of our collaboration activities on a single platform. So, for example, different offices have different tools for project document sharing and for, you know, tracking notes and minutes of meetings and for working across organizational boundaries on topic areas that affect them all. And we have probably 6 or 7 different tools in place for doing that kind of collaboration. We have just completed the enterprise license agreement with Salesforce.com for an enterprise version of the Force.com platform and their collaboration tools. And we're looking to use that as our enterprise choice and achieve some, you know, operational improvements, but also potentially some cost savings by shutting down the use of these other 6 or 7 tools.
And the huge issue is of the duplication that is across agencies, not just the GSA, but every agency is facing. And those enterprise-wide agreements is something I'm hearing a lot about as a way to, hey, if we can bring our bulk buying instead of buying 6 or 7 of them separately, we buy one, we're going to save some money. The other area that we, last time we talked about that you were hopeful for, you know, making an impact both in performance and cost savings was the implementation of ITIL, the Information Technology Infrastructure Library. Can you give us an update of what's happening there and how's the agency starting to benefit from that approach?
Yes, we have implemented several of the practice areas within ITIL, change management, configuration management, problem tracking, and several others. We're kind of at a place where we're maturing those practice areas. We're not seeking to expand our, you know, our use of ITIL. And we're kind of at a point in time where we are finishing the final option year of our current infrastructure operations contract, and we will be undergoing a procurement for a new contract, a new task order in the coming year. It's called GSA Technology Operations, or GTO. And when that is concluded, we'll partner with that vendor on the use of ITIL and advance and mature it even further.
Now, I know when you guys made that award for the infrastructure contract, it was a big change because you went with a small business. It was a lot of dollars. I think at the time it was like $490 or $500 million. Is there anything you can tell us about that acquisition strategy? Because I know sometimes things get sensitive. You said it's still going to come out later this year. Is there anything you can give us a heads up on?
You point to something I think is important, which is when we did the previous infrastructure contract, it was a huge effort because we were consolidating 40 other contracts and 15 other help desks into a single nationwide program. And we had quite a change management effort to bring all that together into a unified program. So this time we're moving from one nationwide program to another. So we're hopeful that that will be a relatively straightforward and smooth process. But whenever you redo something of this magnitude, there's always challenges. Our requirements have grown, and we are thinking there will be new practice areas within that procurement. We've had a couple of requests for information that have gone out, and in those RFIs, we've talked about potentially doing new things like the management of green buildings, so the management of IP control-based sensors and systems within GSA's federal properties so that we can manage the use of the utilities and the systems in those buildings for better tenant satisfaction and more green, more sustainable, more zero environmental footprint kind of outcomes. So we're taking this in new directions, and I can't talk too much more about the particulars of the procurement strategy, but we feel like it offers an opportunity for GSA to perform its mission in a more effective way, because so many things now are based on IT, whereas in the past they might not have been. So the infrastructure is the foundation that supports really everything.
We are almost out of time. Before I let you go, we talked a little bit about the new GOT or the GOT acquisition coming. Give me a sense. What should vendors know about working with your office?
You know, I think like a lot of agencies and a lot of government executives, we really appreciate it when industry folks have taken the time to, for example, listen to conversations such as this one, to be informed about our priorities and our challenges. The thing that is always challenging is when someone wants to come in to be educated about what's going on in our organization rather than coming in having been educated because of the various outreach efforts we've already undertaken, and come in talking about knowing what those challenges are, understanding how they can be of assistance potentially. So that's, I think, a pretty universal interest of ours, is to have informed conversations and not, you know, educational type conversations that could take place elsewhere. We're all looking to be more engaged in multiple channels, such as social media. I am on a lot of different social media outreach platforms, LinkedIn and Facebook, Twitter, others. I think those don't really replace face-to-face meetings, but they do serve as a way to understand what's going on, both from our perspective and more broadly in the community. So I would say that there's a number of different ways to develop those dialogues, but it starts with being informed.
Very good advice. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today was Casey Coleman, the General Services Administration's Chief Information Officer. Casey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jason. It's been my pleasure.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM WFED, your source for federal news now.
Hi, this is Michelle Moore, the Federal Environmental Executive. I'd like to invite you to join us at the 2011 GreenGov Symposium, co-hosted by the White House Council on Environmental Quality and the Association of Climate Change Officers, for 3 days of cutting-edge educational sessions on the business of sustainability and greening the government. Connect with more than 1,000 of your peers at this year's GreenGov from October 31st to November 2nd in Washington, D.C. For more information and to register online, visit greengov2011.org.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Newsmakers talk to Emily Kopp on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Postmaster General Patrick Donahoe.
We are not going to sit back and do nothing on this. I am not going to allow this organization to drown in red ink, and I'm also not going to be in a situation where I'm standing there expecting somebody else to take care of our issues for us.
Hear the entire interview online at federalnewsradio.com.